You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week, we're delving into the really tricky subject of identity crisis after becoming a parent. Let's see where this journey takes us, guys. Stay tuned. Hey there, all you podcast listeners. Hope you all are having a great week. I have to start off by telling you all to forgive me. I'm a little nasally this week. I don't know if it's allergies. It feels like allergies because I have been just sneezing like crazy. My eyes are itchy and my head is fuzzy. But the weird thing is, like, my husband got it and now I have it, and our son is like starting to get this little like nasally sound going on. So I would think if it's allergies, it wouldn't be contagious, but I just think it's weird that all three of us are now getting it. But getting it we are. So I'm sitting over here drinking some tea and trying to not sniffle and cough too much as I sniffle right there. But I did not know that Puffs, it's not Kleenex, Puffs brand of tissues, they have some that have Vicks, like the, you know, vapor rub stuff, Vicks, NyQuil stuff. It's in the tissue. And so when you bring it up to your nose, you're like inhaling Vicks. It's really kind of cool. So I didn't realize this, and I bought a box and I went to blow my nose, and I'm like, what is this smell? And I'm like, oh, and I'm like looking at the box. I'm like, oh, it's okay, cool. It's got Vicks stuff in it. So hopefully it will help clear my nose up, because like a dum-dum, I completely forgot to buy like any kind of sinus medicine when I was at the store getting these tissues. And I can't believe I just called myself dum-dum. I don't remember the last time I even used that. I'm pretty sure that's pretty outdated. So this week we're going to talk about something. I'm really excited. Quite a few of you have been reaching out to me, and ironically, you've all, majority of you have been asking kind of the same question. And what's really ironic about it is I had this exact same question I asked someone else not too long ago. So it's really awesome now that this question's being asked to me. And I'm really excited because I feel like I have some great info to share with you all. So the question is about becoming a mom and kind of how you lose a little bit of your identity becoming a mom, and how that is a struggle. And the question was how to kind of combat that and what things to do. And is this normal? So we're just going to talk about that as a whole, like becoming a parent and the sacrifices you make of yourself in becoming a parent and the effects it has on you. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm really jazzed about it. But before we get into all that, I wanted to give you guys an update. A few podcast weeks ago, I told you all that me and my 7-month-old had started an infant mommy and me swim class, and I told you guys all about it in the podcast and how awesome it was. And so it's an 8-week long class, and we just had our 4th class this week, and so we're halfway through, and I just want to give you guys an update on it. It is going awesome. I really honestly decided to do the class just to meet some other parents and just to do something fun. I really wasn't expecting it to be such a learning experience for him. I really wasn't expecting them to really do much with the kids in the water, but they really do, and it's just so, so cool. And one of the cool things this week, so he is the youngest in the class. Almost everybody else is about 1.5 years to almost 2 years old. And so at 7 months, he's the youngest. And I thought it was so cool. Most of them have been doing the swim class. This isn't their first 8-week class. They've done previous 8-week sessions. And so, with him being the youngest and this being like his first time going through the 8-week class, I think it's so cool because he's doing so well. He's just really taking to it, and it's been amazing to watch him grow. And this past week, I think I told you guys about this activity they did where they take a hula hoop in the water and they stick it down in there, and you stand on one side of the hula hoop, and the instructor takes your child and she dips them down under the water and pushes them towards you, and then they kick their little legs and they start trying to swim to you, but they're underwater. I mean, just for a few seconds. So, and then they push towards you, and right before they go under, you count 1, 2, 3, and then she pushes them under. And you do that every time you dunk them underwater. So they kind of get used to the counting to 3, which I really thought it would take longer for him to get that if he ever actually got it. But he got it. I was so impressed. Like, on Thursday this past week is when our class is, and I was standing on one side of the hoop, and I was like, "Okay, buddy, all right." And I was like, 1, 2, 3, and she pushed him under the water, and right before she did, he closes his eyes and his mouth and starts kicking his legs. It was the cutest thing ever. It was so unbelievably cool, and I just had that amazing moment where I was like, "Oh my gosh, my little boy is getting it." It was so cool. So I just want to give you guys an update that the swim class is going swimmingly, haha, pun intended. And I highly recommend you guys all look in your area and see if you can find a swim class, because I think it's so cool. And what's really awesome is he's already like getting over this fear of water. And what a great fear to get over as a child, and especially like really young. I'm so excited about it. It's really amazing just watching him learn. So I think that's really cool. So there's our little update, but let's get started. Let's dive into this very big, loaded topic of losing your identity as a parent and what that means. So, before we get into kind of my answer around all of that, I want to kind of step back and take a look at what I want to define identity. What is our identity, so to speak? You hear people say, "Oh, I've lost my identity." What does that mean? And so I think to do that, we really need to kind of skim backwards and kind of start at childhood and work our way up towards having kids. And just kind of, I really want to bring attention to kind of this pattern that arises. So if you look back at when you were a child, and I know like when I was a child, I was a very free spirit, and I think we all are because we come into this world and we don't know anything, and we're learning and we're exploring everything. And so we're just these free spirits that are just floating around, and we really are just drawn to the things that spark our interest. And that's where your personality starts to form. And I think that's really where our identity begins. But so, what are the things that are sparking your interest? If you look back when you were a child, what were those things? For me, I loved being outside. I was very artsy. I loved books. I loved my family. I was a very family-oriented person. And so, I look at these things, and they were all things that I was very passionate about. Okay, so we start off very innocent as children, and we kind of form this base of who we are. And then I think once you get into the school system and whatever school you went to, I don't think it matters if it's public, private, whatever, because honestly, I went to all of them, and that's a whole other story, but I've done every form of schooling possible, I think, and in every single scenario, the same thing happens. There is some kind of popularity, and you are trying to fit into it, and that involves changing your person and adapting, and you either learn to stay yourself or you evolve into what is accepted. And most teenagers, they conform to what is accepted. And even if it's not like an extreme, you know, maybe the popular thing is in school is being really preppy and wearing preppy clothes. And, you know, me personally, I was really into like the whole punk rock movement when I was in school. And so, to conform to this whole preppy thing was very uncomfortable for me. To me, I feel like that's kind of extreme, but there's little conformities that go on as children in peer pressure situations. There's little battles too, and it might be the tiniest thing, like how you wear your hair, or something you might say about another person. Maybe you don't really feel that way, but you're just saying it to fit in. You know, there's little battles and then there's big battles. So I think everyone experiences some kind of conforming in their teen years. I mean, I think people experience this throughout their whole life, but I think it is very highlighted in your teen years because peer pressure is so intense, and we're still kids and we're still figuring it out and we still haven't found our voice. And so it's so much easier for kids to fall towards that peer pressure than it is for adults who have found their voice and are more comfortable standing up for themselves. So we start off as these pure little free spirits, and then we get into an environment where we are around other children that are trying to really find themselves, and we're trying to find ourselves, and it ends up making this huge mess of tons of people that are just confused of who they are. And this is probably why a lot of kids don't know what they want to do when they go off to college. But that's just a whole nother thing. But so then this is kind of our backstory as we enter into adulthood. And I think adulthood is really about finding yourself and finding what you are comfortable with. And you do that through going to college and finding, trying different jobs and dating, and you really kind of find yourself in those things. And I think everybody gets to a different point where they feel complete and they feel stable. For me, I felt good when I was single, but when I met my husband, I felt complete. Because there were things about him that he brought out in me that I didn't even know was there. So I do really think that your spouse really helps you be you, because they're your other half, you know? There is one person created for everybody. There's a soulmate out there for everyone. You might have trouble finding them at first or later or in life. It may take a while. You might find them at 19. I found mine at 19. I know tons of people find that incredibly hard to believe. But we're almost 7 years into it, and we're still as crazy about each other as we were when we were 17. But I think we are constantly on this path of finding ourselves and growing, and we really come to completion when we find our spouse or significant other. Again, as we'll see, this is the pattern that kind of forms. The person that helps us with our identity is someone we really love, and that being your spouse. And I know me and my husband, we were in a really, really great place before we had my son. We were both so ourselves. We felt really complete. And then we got this wonderful news that we were going to have a baby, and we honestly were a little stressed out about how we were going to adapt and make room for this addition into our lives, because we already felt so complete and we were so scared to disrupt our little happy complete bubble with bringing another person into it. It's kind of a scary thing. So you have your child, and I think it opens this whole can of worms because especially for moms, actually I take that back. I don't want to say especially for moms. I think as parents, we both go through our separate struggles, and they're so different from the other person's that it's hard to understand. I know I have been struggling being a mom because you sacrifice so much of yourself for these people that you love, and it's a challenge. And then I know, I'm sure my husband has been struggling because being a dad to a stay-at-home mom and a little boy, my husband is the breadwinner, and that's, I'm sure, a lot of stress on him having two people that depend on him to keep them afloat. So those are two really extreme stresses that are going to take a lot out of you and take away from your person. So what we're looking at is a lot of people, once they have kids, they struggle because they feel like here they've built up this wonderful identity. They know who they are. They've met this wonderful person, and they're together, and they're just complete, and they're happy. And then they have this baby, and it's amazing how this little tiny thing can just take that entire structure and just crumble it down. And so lots of people have been asking me, how do you prevent this from happening? Or how do you fix it? How do you get back to that complete bubble? How do you get your identity and your person back? My answer in a short is you don't. Your person that you were before you had your baby is gone, and you are now someone else. And you're better. You're even better, and I know it's so hard to see that sometimes when you're tired and exhausted and you feel like you are the last priority in the whole world because you have your spouse and you have your child and you have whatever duties you have to do in your household, and you feel like you are on the bottom of the list. I have those days. I have those days where I'm like, no one cares about me, and I don't even care about me because I have no care left. I've given all of my care and concern out to other people today, and I have none left for myself. And, you know, we all have those days. So if you're out there and you're really struggling, please know you're not alone. We all have these days. But I want to share with you guys something that once you understand it and you come to terms with it, it's going to set you free from that. Okay? So the concept on a whole is basically you need to come to terms with you are not losing your identity or yourself, because you are what you love. So, you know, before... I know none of this is making sense. I promise it's going to make sense. Stick with me. Before we had my son, I was very big book nerd. I know I've talked about it a lot. I love drinking tea. I'm very into tea. We were living in New England at the time, so I mean about once a month I would treat myself to high tea. I would just go sit at a tea place and have this peace and quiet and calm all to myself. It was bliss. We were very nerdy, both me and my husband. We still are. But we were very into board games and lots of different games, video games. We have like every single console possible. Very, very techie people. We were living, like I said, in New England, so we were very into hiking and going to the beach. We were like weekend warriors. We were always out doing stuff and going to awesome restaurants and having fun food. We were kind of big foodies. And so we were so in this blissful, wonderful place, and we had all these things. I was a teacher. I was in this great spot in my career and was very artsy and was getting to really dive into that and do some great things with great kids. And becoming a mom, we put our families first and moved back to Indiana and came back here. And it's like, as a mom now, my days are constantly packed. I don't have to tell you guys are parents, probably, if you're listening. If you're not a parent and just enjoy the podcast, then you rock. most of you are probably parents and you understand, you know, your days are filled with feedings and rocking to bed and nap times and playing, and especially if you're where I'm at and you're going through the clinginess stage, your child won't even let you leave the room or go to the bathroom or take a shower. I mean, all these things are luxuries, and doing the simplest thing like sitting down and reading a book or going to a fun restaurant and spending money on yourself or playing a board game or a video game, those don't happen anymore. They are things of the past. So I understand feeling like you're a completely different person and you don't have your identity anymore. But what people need to stop and realize is, you know, using me as the for instance, reading books, playing board games, having fun weekends with my husband, those were all things I loved. The key word here is love. You are what you love. So you gave up things that you love to get something else that you love probably even more. I'm sure you all are probably sitting there, unless you've had a really, really rough day, you're probably all going to say that you wouldn't trade your children for anything. If you've had a day that is just absolutely awful, then you're probably maybe on the fence. But odds are you wouldn't trade your children for anything. They're well worth it. Or at least that's what you keep telling yourself to get yourself to go to sleep at night. They're worth it. They're worth it. They're worth it. They're worth it. You just have to remind yourself that you love them and you love being a mom. There's things about it that are so amazing. One of the things I love most, and I have just been loving so much about being a mom, even from pregnancy and still, is that I created this person. You know, being a really artsy person, this really, really is like in my wheelhouse, that I created this person and that I get to mold them and help them grow into this great person that I think they are. And so I have this vision in my head and I'm working towards bringing this child about to be this great thing. And so I really enjoy that. So I think you have to stop and look and say, I'm not losing my identity. I've just shifted my hobbies around, basically. Because you are what you love. Your identity are the things that are dear and near to your heart. That is who you are. That being said, everybody needs some things that are just them, you know? Reading and writing and my days having high tea, those were me. They weren't me and my husband. They weren't me, my husband, and my son. They were just me. And I do think everybody needs that. So find some creative outlets. It doesn't have to be something artsy. But as moms and dads, I'm not trying to exclude the dads, we are creators. We created this person, and especially moms, being the person that carries the child and really does the majority of the creating, it's just in our nature, it's in our blood, and I really think that every mom needs to find something kind of creative outlet. It may be gardening, it may be sewing, it may be podcasting. It may be cooking with your kids or doing fun art. It may be just being with your kids. Maybe your creativeness is how you spend time with them, coming up with fun new things. But find some way to utilize your creative outlet, because I gotta tell you, that was my thing when I started this podcast. I was like, I want something that is mine alone. And it has been amazing. It's like therapy for me, if you guys can't tell, because I'm sure there's probably sometimes you're sitting here listening to me and you're like, this girl just likes to listen to herself talk. Stay-at-home moms need an outlet. We need people to talk to. And that's one of the things I love about this podcast, because I get on here and I just go. And my husband loves it, but we all need some kind of outlet. So find something that's doable and just start small. Start small. You know, when I started the podcast, I was like, you know, I just want to do one episode a week. And I sit down on Saturday nights and I record it. On Sundays, I edit it and put it together, which honestly only takes me about 15 or 20 minutes. And then Monday, I just load it up and there it is. So it's really doable and I make it fit into my time and I do what works for me. And it's great. And I think so. Really get creative and think of some stuff. And just kind of a side note with that, I think one area that we all kind of fall prey to when we are struggling within ourselves, we lash out on our spouses and kind of make it their fault and say, and I'm saying this, guys, because I'm guilty of it, okay? I think there's been a lot of times where I put it on my husband to build me up and make me feel good. So if I'm having a rough day and I feel like I'm just losing myself to the day, that's not his fault. And sitting around and waiting for someone to pick you up and build you up, it's just not going to happen because it's not their job and nobody wants to do that for another person. We all need to be there for each other, and I'm not saying don't be there for your spouse, but it's not your spouse's job to keep you afloat. You know, that's you need to take care of that. I mean, it is a partnership, but yeah, it's mainly on you. And mainly just in the building up department. You know, someone else can't build you up if you don't believe in yourself. There's nothing they're going to be able to say that's going to change your mind. You have to be able to believe in you, and then they can come in and help push you up even more. But if you don't believe in yourself, then it's just kind of a lost cause until you come around and see how awesome you really are. So, find satisfaction in yourself. I really struggle. I know I've told you guys this is the first time I haven't had a full-time job since I was like 15 years old. And I really struggle on a day-to-day because I have no way to like measure my worth, you know? I don't have a list of tasks that I have to do for a boss. I don't have a paycheck that comes to me and says, "Hey, you're worth this much amount of money." You know? And so I really struggle with like finding satisfaction with myself because I'm just not seeing the rewards from it. And I know, I need to look at my son. He is my reward. I need to look at him. Everything I put into him every day is how much I'm worth. You know, that is where all my energy is going. But that's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to look at another person and say, that is how much I'm worth. They're everything that I am. That's just hard. So that's why I say find a creative outlet, something where you can actually see some growth, and it be instantaneous, I guess I should say. You know, putting your time into kids is absolutely what you should be doing and a great use of your time. But it is hard because the feedback, it takes longer to see, and you're you sometimes get frustrated. Find some kind of creative outlet where you can see growth on a day-to-day basis. It's going to make you feel good. I always feel good with the podcast. It makes me feel good, and it's something where I can see growth and things like that instantaneously. So, there we go. So, guys, our identity is what we love. That's what I want everyone to take away today. And I'm sorry, this is such a somber episode. One last thing, and then we're going to wrap this up, and then we'll take a break and come back and do our close. Something that I really think, with all of this being said, that we need to contemplate on is, instead of molding our kids into what we think is best as parents, we need to raise our kids to just be good decision makers. That way, we can be proud of what they become. So, why am I saying this? Okay, so we talked about from childhood, we're these beautiful free spirits, and then we get into school, we start conforming, and we get more and more out into the world, and we start conforming, and then we go through this rough journey of trying to find ourselves as adults, and then we find our spouse. Save your kids the trouble. Instead of trying to teach them to mold and conform to something, just teach them to be smart and make good decisions and to be able to think through scenarios thoroughly. That way they can really make choices on their own versus just knowing that they need to fit in. Don't give that to your kids that they just need to fit in. Give them the strength to make decisions and stand up for themselves and be smart. So how do you do that? What are some ways to do that? Open communication is absolutely huge. As a kid, I think it's just in my nature. I'm a very outgoing person, and I was homeschooled for until I was 10 years old. And so I really think when you're homeschooled, you just have this incredibly hands-on education, and you're very involved in your education. And so I think it just has a whole realm of side effects that are great. But one of them, I think, is you learn to ask a lot of questions because your education is so hands-on. And so I, as a child, asked questions about everything, and I questioned everything, and I pushed the boundaries on everything. You should hear stories from my parents. I was that kid that they would say, you know, this is the rule, and I would be like, why? And they would have to sit down and explain to me, this rule is in place because of da 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 da. And I think, honestly, my parents would tell you it was good for them because it made them think through, well, why do we have this rule in place? You know, they weren't just making rules just to keep their children corralled in this little safe bubble. They actually had rules that were for a reason and were building and constructing this foundation in their kids. And so I really pushed them in that sense. And so I really think open communication with your kids is the best place to start to help them make decisions and be smart and look at things from all angles. Encourage questions. You know, don't just sit down and tell your kids, you know, have your big speech and then say, okay, are we good? No, really ask them, you know, do you have any questions? Does this make sense? Do you understand this? What could I expand on? Do you get while we're doing, you know, really ask, get them involved in the conversation. Encourage questions. Be thorough when you're talking. Don't just say, you know, here's the rule and cut it off. Be thorough. Sit down, explain why you're doing this, why we're doing that, why should we do this. You know, really explain these things. As a teacher, I used to always get down on my kids' levels, and I would explain to them. And even when I was teaching preschool, which was 4 and 5 year olds, I would get down on my knees and I would sit there and I would talk to them because they're smart. They understand. If a 7-month-old baby can understand to close their eyes and mouth before they're dunked in the water, little 4 and 5-year-olds can understand really complicated thought processes if you just spend the time to really talk it out with them. So really be thorough and give it thought. Give what you're doing and what you're saying thought. Don't just throw out a reason for something and not think it through. Be ready to back yourself up and back up your spouse. Don't ever put your spouse in that situation where you're like, I'm not gonna back you up. I don't agree with this. Be on the same page. So just to kind of wrap that all together in a beautiful, lovely package, our identity are the things in our life that we love, and to find those things and focus on them, we need to be smart. We need to be able to stand up for ourselves and make good decisions. And so that is where we need to direct our kids and direct our own thoughts and find a creative outlet so you can see some growth, not only in your outlet, but in yourself. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. I'm going to get a sip of my tea, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Guys, I'm really sorry. I know this episode has been kind of somber, and hopefully it wasn't too all over the place and you guys could follow along with my thought process. I think there was some really good stuff in there that I was sharing with you. If I articulated it well, that's probably a whole another issue. But hopefully there's something in there that really stuck with you and you can ponder on this week. And if you have more questions, when my head isn't so fuzzy, I would be more than happy to answer them for you. So you can reach out to me via email, homebasepodcast@gmail.com, or you can also reach me at Twitter @homebase. We also have the blog, which is meganpoteet.wordpress.com, or you can just write me a comment or something on iTunes as well. Please subscribe. We've gotten some more subscribers, which is so awesome. And I just love that we're getting the awesome podcast out there to more and more people. It makes me so happy. So subscribe, and share it with your friends. Share it with your breastfeeding groups, your mommy classes, your girlfriends, your family. Share it with everyone. You know, really get the word out there. But yes, please send me, if you have any questions or anything you want me to just elaborate on, please send me an email, shout out at me or something, hit me up on Twitter. I will be putting together a post this week on the blog that is everything we talked about, but just way more condensed and short and clear. So if there's something that you just really liked and you want to go and like save the post or tweet it or something, you can go check it out. So I wanted to leave you guys today, though, with something I found before I share with you our inspirational quote, I am so excited. So this is so dorky, but every week I share with you guys something that I'm like really obsessed with or crushing on, and every week I change the words because I'm like, I don't know what I want to call this, but I just want to share with you guys like a tip or a trick or a product or something I'm just crazy about or is just really working with me this week. And so I've been trying to think of some cutesy name to give this little segment of the podcast. And I thought of something, so we're going to call it our parenting hack of the week. Okay, so parenting hack. And we're going to call our inspirational quotes, we're going to call them mommy mantras. So there we go.
I cannot talk. I need to go to bed, seriously. Parenting hacks and mommy mantras are our awesome last two segments we're going to hit on here, and then we're going to peace out. So our parenting hack of the week. I registered when we were pregnant. I registered for this beautiful diaper bag. It was big, had all the compartments for everything, and nobody got it for us, which is totally fine. Because honestly, the more and more I kept thinking about it, I'm like, I just think diaper bags are kind of ridiculous. Unless you're like going over to grandma and grandpa's house for the day or something, which then we have like a really big tote bag that has all these pockets on it, and we just load up the big tote bag. But like day to day, like if I'm running to the grocery store or something and I bring my son with me, or, you know, a play date or something like that, like I really... And you guys are just going to have to tell me if I'm crazy or not. But, like, I really scratched my head, and I'm like, why are moms bringing these enormous diaper bags everywhere? Like, I see these moms that have, like, purses and then this huge diaper bag. And I'm like, what is in there that you, like, cannot live without? Like, I just, it amazes me. So, my parenting hack that I do is, you know, the whole backpack purse is really, really trendy right now. Just wearing a backpack is your purse. And of course, they're like cutesy backpacks, you know, they're like pretty prints and leather straps and stuff like that. So I have a couple of these cutesy backpacks that I've purchased. And honestly, I've gotten one of them I got from Target that I absolutely love. And it's like this really nice like canvas material, so it's pretty sturdy. And Target has a lot of really cute ones out right now. But, I mean, I have my wallet, my keys, all of my purse normal accessories in there. And then I also have one outfit for my son. It's just, like, a little romper, so it's just a one piece. I don't have, like, you know, pants and a onesie and socks floating in there. And then I have my diaper clutch with wipes, and then I also have the little changing pad for if we're out somewhere and I'm changing him on the changing table, I can put the little plastic pad down so he doesn't have to lay on the disgusting changing table. That's in there. I've got a little thing of hand sanitizers in there, and then I have like stuff like Band-Aids and stuff like that. All of that is in my little backpack, and it's not that heavy. Oh, and I have two toys. I always have two toys. They just stay in my purse all the time. I have, like, little keys, and I have a teether of his that he loves. So all this stuff is just in my purse all the time. It's the purse outfit, the purse diapers, the purse toys. They always stay in there. And I just wear this backpack where I go. And honestly, it's not that heavy. That's all I put in there. Occasionally, just because we've started food and like sippy cups and stuff, if we're going somewhere, I'll just carry his sippy cup out to the car, and I might have like his little container of snacks or something. But I just don't get the whole big diaper bag thing. I just don't get it. And even when he was like teeny tiny, and if we gave him like a bottle or something, even still, I had the little insulated, like, thermos bag, and I just threw that in my backpack. Like, I didn't take a ton of stuff with me everywhere. And, like, my diaper clutch, I think, has, like, three diapers in it. So, I mean, I have a couple. It's not like I'm walking around with just one. I don't know. I just don't get it. But I highly recommend the whole backpack thing because it's really trendy right now. And you don't have to look like you're carrying around your entire house with you. And plus, it's way easier to get, like, in and out of the car because you can put the backpack on and your hands free to carry your child and groceries. And so, all about the backpack, guys. Jump on the backpack bandwagon. I promise you, you won't be sorry. And seriously, minimalize the things you take with you. It's just so not necessary. So not necessary. I mean, like, I limit my son to two toys. I'm like, two toys is all you need. You will be fine with two. And so far, it hasn't been a problem. So, I know, there's some of you out there that are like, yeah, talk to me when your child's at, like, 13 months and see if it's a problem then. We'll see. I'll keep you guys posted.
Okay, so my mommy mantra for the week. I love it. I was looking high and low for something that just really embodied what we talked about today, and I love this, so I hope you all love it too. It comes to us from Marcel Proust. It is, "Let us be grateful to the people who make us happy. They are the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom." I think that sums up what I was trying to articulate today. It sums it up perfectly. Because when I just sit back and think about it, think about me and who I am my husband, and I am my son, and I am my cats, and I am books and literature, and all these things are the things that make me happy, and the people that make me happy. And they make my soul blossom. So I just love that. Let us be grateful to the people who make us happy. They are the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom. Thank you, Marcel Proust. Check out Twitter. That will be on Twitter for sure. I will be posting it so you guys can look at it and retweet it and send it to your friends and family and favorite it and save it for later for when you need a reminder of what is really important. So I challenge you guys all this week, if you get 5 minutes to yourself, I know 5 minutes is hard to come by, but if you do, get a little notebook and write down the things that you love that really make you you. And I promise you, you'll see you have your identity. It's in there. It's not lost. It's not permanently gone forever. It's still there. It's just even better. All right, you guys have a great week. You guys are amazing. Take care.